Listen, Ryan.
Sorry, Abe. Go on.
It was dark. I was drowning. Under for the 20th time. I'm sucked down, ready to give up. No, I'd already given up.
And you got saved. Sounds like... No. Go ahead.
Someone came and grabbed me. Pulled me out. Told me to get my shit together and stop whining and feeling sorry.
Who could've?
He said to me that a man who's ready to give up is ready to buy the farm.
Ryan's good eye opened wide, and his jaw dropped. Traitor?
A man around his early 50s. Black pants, black shirt, black boots, grizzled hair, holding a battered Armalite. Just tell me who the fuck that was, will you, Ryan?
Traitor.
And he still had the bastard cough, you know? What used to bring up blood?
Toward the end.
Yeah. Looked me right in the eye. Like he was gonna chew rocks and shit sand.
Ryan grinned. Abe's description was an ace on the line for Traitor. He was the toughest man that Ryan had ever met, or ever expected to meet. Then what?
He pulled me by the hand, hauled me up into the night air.
You dreamed it.
Maybe.
Traitor's dead.
I told you I heard different.
I heard the rumors as well, Abe.
So?
So what? Fire blast. Stories around the fire late at night. A man as big as Traitor buys the farm, and everyone in Deathlands gets to hear about it. Like the king or the president in old times. Abe stepped in closer.
Tell me the truth, Ryan. No bullshit, no lies, just the simple goddamn truth.
What?
Are you certain Traitor's dead?
No. Abe stood by the passenger side of the wag. The engine was for the time being running smoothly, ticking over in the morning quiet. The sectors were sealed tight, and the wag was pointing toward the east again, back toward the charred heart of the old Ville of Chicago. The farewells had been said, hands shaken, kisses exchanged, a tear or two shed. The armor glass window was down a few inches, so that Ryan and Abe could share a last moment through the narrow gap.
You could stay with us, Abe, I told you. We hear anything more than just a rumor or a drowning man's dream, and JB and me'd be alongside you tracking Traitor down.
I know that, Ryan.
But you're going anyway.
I gotta go look.
Yeah.
Ryan reached out, and the two men clasped hands.
Been good meeting up with you, Ryan.
The gunner nodded to the driver.
And you too, JB Dix.
Abe waved to Christy, Doc, Mildred, and Dean, and finally to Michael, who'd taken no part in the conversation about the traitor.
Look after him all for me, Mike.
I will do so, God being my helper.
See you around.
Ryan turned to JB.
Let's go.
Right.
Ryan watched the small, lonely figure diminishing in the rearview mirror of the wag until they eventually turned a corner and Abe vanished from sight.
Oh, shit!
The engine cut out 45 minutes later. It had been sounding raggedy the entire morning, despite JB's best efforts to nurse it along. The ignition was irregular, and the gears were grinding and missing.
Sounds like two muties dueling with power saws.
Definitely not healthy. I hope our insurance is up to date.
I don't imagine that you are cognizant of the ways of the internal combustion engine. Are you, Michael, my dear fellow?
Sorry, Doc?
Can you repair wags?
No.
I rather thought not.
Any idea what's wrong?
JB sat at the wheel, staring straight ahead of them at the highway.
Yeah, it hadn't turned over for 100 years, and now we turned it over too much. Needed running gently for a few minutes, bit more next day, and so on.
Can you start her up again?
Who knows?
JB, can we get out? Once the engine stops, then it gets really stuffy in here.
Sure, Christy. No sign of anyone around, is there? Ryan, you see anyone?
No. I heard this used to be one of the biggest villes in the world. Is that right, Mildred?
Yeah. Where'd they all go? So many millions of them.
Food.
JB opened the sec doors at the rear of the APC, letting in a surge of fresh air. One by one, they began to climb out.
So you're saying they starved to death?
Some places were better than others. That's what I heard from old-timers, those whose parents lived through the nuke nights. Some places the missiles wiped out virtually everyone. They were known as the lucky ones.
Ryan was standing near the front of the WAG, looking around at the endless suburbs of the Ville. Many of the houses were in decent shape, but there wasn't any sign of life. Many of the really big Villes he'd visited, like New York, still had some kind of population in their devastated centers, often engaged in barter or in crime, often muties or breeds. Apart from the roving gang that had attacked them during the night, he still had seen virtually no trace of a living soul at all, which was probably something to do with the center of the city having been wiped away in the firestorm. Christy and Mildred were both looking eastward, to the smudge of darkness that lay between them and the lake.
So, after the nuking, civilization virtually collapsed overnight.
Mildred shook her head.
Like a horror novel.
Worse. This was real. They used to have all these stores for food and drink, but the highways were wrecked and so was all the power. Food rotted in warehouses and the people couldn't get at it.
The farmers must have done well.
Christy looked at her.
You think so? You have a starving child and a sharp knife. Man tells you he's got a load of food at a price. What do you do, Mildred? Do you pay him?
You open him up from groin to throat. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Ma told me that there were big fights after the Dark Knight started. And the long winters.
Dean was picking up stones from the pavement and flicking them underhand at a row of tilted mailboxes, hitting most of them.
I believe there were floods of desperate people. An exodus on an unbelievable scale. But the country was stripped of food. As they walked, they starved. And as they starved, they died. So I have been told, my friends.
Christy nodded.
True, Doc. Stench from tens of thousands of rotting corpses lasted for weeks. No sunlight, crops withered and dead. Nightmare.
Why? I never understood that. I asked Rona, but she didn't know. Why did the end begin? Whose fault was it?
Nobody could tell the boy. Ryan and JB were working on the engine, trying to fault-find backward from the poor ignition. And they weren't having any success. Christy was lying on her back, her eyes closed, beneath the shade of a widespread yew tree, catching up on the lost hours of sleep from the previous disturbed night. Doc had walked into one of the nearby houses and come out with a frail, faded paperback book that he'd found hurled into a corner of the ravaged living room. It was the collected poetry of Bob Dylan, and so Doc sat on the stoop, immersed in its wonder and beauty. Occasionally his lips moved as he read out some of his favorite lines. Dean had hung around with his father until Ryan shooed him away. Michael sat cross-legged in the long grass of a lawn that ran down to the edge of the street. He had laid his hands, palms up, on his thighs, and was staring blankly toward the watery sun that hung low in the eastern sky. Mildred had been checking through the first aid kit from the WAG, occasionally slipping an item into her pockets. One of the ampules was a fast-acting anesthetic, and she held it cautiously up to the light, agitating it before adding it to the rest of her collection.
What are they, Mildred?
Drugs.
Any jolt?
No.
Any crack?
My goodness, boy, no. No crack.
Dream?
No, Dean, nothing like that at all. These are drugs to make you feel better.
So are the other ones. Any runners, purples?
No, I told you.
The boy stood in front of her.
Bet you got some good stuff, haven't you?
Mildred leaned forward, making him take a wary step away from her anger.
I told you what I've got. Nothing that'll interest you, Dean. Not unless you go and get sick.
Yeah, all right, all right. Jeez, you're a sorehead, Mildred.
I'll give you a sorehead.
Dean shuffled away, dragging his feet in the gutter, picking up another handful of stones, and resuming his game of chucking them at the mailboxes. Christy didn't even bother to open her emerald eyes, trying to hide her annoyance.
Why don't you go and do that some other place?
Why?
Because I'll pull off your head and spit down your neck if you don't.
You and Mildred must both have your monthlies. That's why you got so itchy and mean. Rona was always like that when she had the curse.
I oughta...
Don't criticize what you can't understand.
I'm bored! You got any brainies or bursters in those drugs, Mildred?
Get lost, Dean.
Michael uncoiled himself from his meditation and walked toward Dean, who backed off nervously, making a gesture to threaten the teenager with his pebbles.
Hey! You better leave me alone or I'll bust your face open!
How many...